Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is Richard Waltz, who is an elder and the pastor of the church.
Tonight we are finishing up chapter 19 of 2 Samuel. Our title is In His Own Place. And the focus tonight is Barzillai, the aged gentleman who Scripture records was a great man, very wealthy, very wise, and very loyal to King David. He was faced with the opportunity of receiving further honor and ease at the palace of King David as he returned to Jerusalem. And yet he graciously declined. He knew that his days were numbered. He recognized that he couldn't personally enjoy much of the daily routine, the daily activities of the court. So instead he sent his son. He had accomplished what he had to do, and yet he was gracious enough and loyal enough to King David to provide his son as a loyal supporter of the king. He was content in his old age. He was looking to the future, looking even to eternity. And thus, we as Christians ought to do the same, to be content in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, and to recognize the safety and the security that we have through faith in Christ. Safe in the arms of Jesus. 608.
Overshadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest.
Barzillai was a faithful servant of King David. He sustained him during the time that he was in exile across the Jordan. And when the tide turned and David returned to power, he was eager and willing to bless the old man for his faithful service. But Barzillai declined. He was gracious, but he recognized that that was not his calling. He was looking ahead. He recognized his limitations of his age, and he was anticipating the future, simply trusting every day. 682. Barzillai was an old man. He declined to go to the court to be with David on a daily basis. But he recommended his son, Kimham, and David willingly accepted his service. Barzillai had passed his time of direct service, and yet he acknowledged and understood that there were the younger ones who could serve and could be faithful and loyal to David and could be useful to him in the court. The days of his youth. We are thankful. We thank thee, O Lord, for the days of our youth. The hymn is 634. Stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this section this evening. It's 2 Samuel 19, verses 31 to 43.
And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat, what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king, and said unto the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away, and have brought the king and his household, and all David's men with him, over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, Because the king is near of kin to us, wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all the king's cost? or hath he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this example of Barzillai, his contentment and his peace with his situation and his recognition that he might be a burden to the king as he faced the task of reunifying the country after his exile. And yet he also had served a loyal service during his time across the Jordan. He had sustained the king. And we recognize his generosity and his graciousness as a host. We praise you for his humility and his eagerness to surrender even his own son to the service of King David. Help us to follow the spirit of Barzillai in our service to the King of Kings. And we also recognize the contrast of this section, the hostility among the tribes, the jealousy, and the pride, as contrasted with that spirit shown by Barzillai. We pray that you would help us to learn, even from this passage, the way in which we ought to conduct ourselves, to acknowledge your sovereignty and not to get into the petty squabbles of the world. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before we finish chapter 19 tonight, we commemorate a date in history, and like this morning, this is a rather negative one. It's not something that we look back upon approvingly or to celebrate it in any real way, but it was on June 19th in the year 1750, June 19th, 1750, that the Council of the Church at Northampton, Massachusetts, voted to dismiss their pastor, Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards had been the leading theologian of the colonial period. He was directly responsible, of course, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, but it was he who was one of the principal voices that led to the Great Awakening. And yet, among the modernism of his day and the supposed advancements in thought by his parishioners in his congregation, they had decided it was time to move on. The council voted to remove Jonathan Edwards, despite his faithful service, despite his accomplishments in the work of the gospel. They decided they no longer wanted him to be their pastor. And several days later, the entire congregation voted to remove him. And the following Lord's Day, he preached his last sermon at Northampton, Massachusetts. That wasn't the end of Jonathan Edwards' preaching. He went on to be an effective missionary to the Indians of Western Massachusetts. He served in other capacities, still preaching the gospel message of salvation, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But at that particular point, it was no longer the will of the people of Northampton, Massachusetts that he served as their pastor. When we see the faithfulness and the steadfastness of men such as Barzillai, we recognize how often men and women of other generations, even our own, fall short of the holy standard set forth in the Word of God. So thus we remember the events in the life of Jonathan Edwards. Tonight we are discussing Barzillai. in his own place. And this account is a little bit different than the two previous encounters that David had as he returned across the Jordan. In his encounter with Shimei, Shimei was trying to atone for his previous treatment of David, his rebellion, and probably reacting in great fear and trepidation for what might happen as David resumed the throne of Israel. And yet David showed mercy. In his second encounter with Mephibosheth, that was a situation in which a misunderstanding was being corrected. Ziva, the unfaithful servant, the conniving schemer, had lied about Mephibosheth's loyalty to King David and said that he didn't come out to join him in the wilderness because he was back in Jerusalem hoping to regain the throne himself. And that was not the truth, of course. And David reacted in haste and awarded all of Mephibosheth's property, the lands of Saul, to Ziva and his 15 sons. And yet we saw the character and the contentment, the joy of Mephibosheth in David's return. It was enough for him that David was back on the throne. He was not concerned with the loss of his estate, the loss of his lands. But here we have a different situation. Barzillai had been the one, it says here that he was a Gileadite. He lived in the region about 25 miles north, and he apparently had extensive land holdings, probably vast herds of sheep and cattle or oxen, and significant lands to produce food. And during the time of David's exile, the time in which he stayed at Mahanaim, it was Barzillai who had sustained the king and his soldiers. He provided food for them. He provided everything they needed. He was a loyal servant. And we see that Barzillai, it says, was a great man. Not just great in possessions, not just great in power and influence, but it appears that he was great in wisdom, in godliness. He knew that from the natural perspective, the odds were against David. David had been deposed. The troops of Absalom were vastly superior to the numbers of King David. The public opinion polls seemed to show that the overwhelming majority of the people favored the rebellious Absalom. And yet, nevertheless, Barzillai recognized and understood that it had been David who was anointed to serve as king of Israel. And that since God hadn't revoked that anointing, that his loyalty, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the eventual cost, Barzillai had determined to remain loyal and faithful and supportive of King David. And as the events proceeded, if things had gone the other way, if Absalom had emerged victorious, the probability is that Barzillai would have paid a huge cost for his support of David, possibly even his own very life. And yet that did not deter Barzillai from doing what he knew was right. And thus, the summation of this verse of Scripture, in verse 32, that he was a great man, is a testament to not only his possessions, his power, his influence, but also his character and his wisdom and his faithfulness. Barzillai makes the trip roughly 25 miles down to the Jordan to be on hand to escort David back across to return to the throne. No easy task for a man of his age. And yet Barzillai did it willingly. He made the trip. He encountered the king. And of course the king, who had known of his sacrifice and his risk and his service and his loyalty in the previous years, he was willing to take Barzillai with him back to the capital, back to the court, that he would be with him there. And in the response of Barzillai, we see even further the great character that he had. He had been faithful. He had been loyal. And there certainly would have been nothing wrong with him accepting the offer and going back with David. It may have been a wise political move on David's part, because he would have cemented the ties with the region east of Jordan. And as we see at the end of the chapter, there are some hostilities, there's some disunity in the country. And yet, Barzillai declines. He says, "I'm 80 years old. Can I discern between good and evil?" And of course, that doesn't mean that he's so old and so decrepit and so senile that he can't understand right and wrong. That's not really what he's talking about. He's making a commentary on his ability to be of useful service to King David on a daily basis. And as the section concludes, he again expresses his desire not to be a burden to King David. He understands that David has his hands full. There's a great task yet remaining ahead of him to reunify the country. And Barzillai desires to demonstrate his service simply by going home. He had faithfully aided the king. He had sacrificially and generously supported the king during his time of need. But now he simply desires to go home. He says that he's of such an age that he can no longer taste the food or the drink. He cannot enjoy the lavish lifestyle of the court. Perhaps the foods would be too rich for his taste at his age. And he could no longer derive the enjoyment out of such luxuries and such bounty at the king's table. So he declines. He also notes his limitations. He says he can no longer hear the singers. And David, being a poet himself and being chiefly involved in the playing of the harp and the stringed instruments, and no doubt would have had that as a chief part of the royal functions, the state dinners and all of the activity at the court. And Barzillai is noting that he wouldn't even really enjoy that so much anymore, because he was no longer able to hear. One of the things they say is that you lose the ability to hear the high notes. And as Barzillai recognized that he couldn't derive the full enjoyment, the full sense of the pleasure, the enjoyment of the setting, determined that he would rather simply go home. That doesn't mean he's ending his service to the king. He remains a faithful and loyal servant. If you listen to modern Christian radio and TV, one of the things that they all seem to be focusing on these days is legacy giving. They encourage you to put into your will the remembrance of this ministry or that ministry, and there's nothing wrong with that. If we have additional assets, that certainly is a wise disposition of some assets. But the principle of Scripture is that which is modeled here by Barzillai. He sustained the king during his lifetime. He provided generously and sacrificially, giving willingly and generously, cheerfully giving, as the Scripture says, even during his lifetime. And thus, that serves as an example of it to us as to the attitude that we perhaps ought to emphasize more in our daily life. This attitude of Barzillai is one of continuing faithfulness to David. He remains a faithful servant. Some people say that he's simply abdicating his responsibility, but there's none of that here. He has remained faithful. He went the extra mile, the extra 25 miles, to travel down from his home down to the Jordan. And even when he expresses an intention of not going all the way back to Jerusalem, he says, I'll go a little way with you. He's continuing the journey. He's continuing the fellowship and the support and the encouragement of David as he returns back to the capital and back to the throne. And then he says, I'll go home. It was his desire that he would spend his last days at home. He didn't know his allotted years. None of us know the allotted years of our days, the number of our days. But the Scripture advises us in Psalm 90 to number our days. The prayer is that he would teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Barzillai certainly did that. And he desired, when his days expired, when his time was up, that he would be buried near the grave of his parents. And that was not a suicidal thought or anything of that sort by Barzillai. He wasn't wishing his days to end, but he was recognizing that he had limited time. He had a short duration, and that he did not wish in his advanced age, assuming that he lived a few more years or even another decade, perhaps even more, that he did not wish to be a burden to King David. One of the chief considerations of people in that day, one of the chief blessings that they understood, was the privilege and the honor of being buried near the grave of their parents. The first thing that Abraham did in securing land was to purchase a burial place. It was not to purchase a residence. And one of the greatest curses that often fell upon the wicked kings of Israel, the Scripture notes that in such cases, they were not buried among their fathers. So Barzillai understood the importance, the significance, the honor of honorably living one's life, and when it was over, to be buried among the grave of his forefathers. So thus Barzillai desires to return home. But we see that he's not so protective of his present status. Many times we would think that his focus would have been on surrounding himself with his children and turning the responsibilities over to them, letting them administer the vast estate that he had, the huge properties and the farm production and the animal herds, that he would have perhaps desired to have his sons take over the responsibility and thus continue on the family business and the family name. But that, from all appearances, was not Barzillai's chief concern. He suggests to King David, after he graciously rejects the offer of himself being escorted back with David and fed at the king's table, he willingly presents his son Kimham as an alternative. He recognizes the youthfulness of his son, the ability to be of service and help to King David. So he suggests that he be accepted in his own place. And David willingly accepts. He gratefully accepts the faithful service of Kimham, and he promises to do all that he would have done for Barzillai to Barzillai's son, Kimham. And also, he makes a further pledge that whatever he can do to help him to remain a demonstration of gratitude for what Barzillai had done, that he will also gladly do so as well. So Barzillai returns home. Kimham goes on to Jerusalem. He serves at the king's table. He joins in the affairs of government from all indications, even from all indications being not just a servant in the background, but one who had continued to demonstrate great loyalty to King David, even to the point that in 2 Kings 2:7, among the parting words, the dying words of King David, he tells Solomon to provide for the children of Barzillai. And thus, it's apparent that Kimham and his family went and served the king. Perhaps even, as some speculate, that he, in one sense, replaced the now absent Absalom. In Jeremiah 41:17, there's a reference. It's kind of a passing reference, but it's an interesting footnote to history. In Bethlehem, probably carved out of the personal estate of David, there was a tract of land given to Kimham. And Jeremiah notes that during the Exodus, at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah and those who were fleeing to Egypt, they stopped at Bethlehem at the habitation of Kimham. Habitation is often translated an inn. And thus he and his descendants remained faithful and loyal servants of the kingdom, even in its closing hours, in its closing days and months. They sustained and helped those who were fleeing the destruction, who were fleeing the judgment. They served and continued to serve even in those dark days. But one of the commentators makes an even more interesting side note to history. This reference to the habitation of Kimham, and that destruction of Jerusalem came almost 500 years after the life of David. And thus, Kimham seems to have had a lasting influence. But the Jewish tradition further is that the habitation of Kimham at Bethlehem is the very place that during the great census of Herod that Joseph and Mary stopped on their travels to Bethlehem. And it was that very location, according to Jewish tradition, where the Lord Jesus was born. So God remained faithful to his servant Kimham and blessed him and even perhaps gave him a lasting contribution to the arrival of not just King David, but the King of Kings himself. Verse 41 to 43, though, is a different story. David accepts the gracious rejection of Barzillai, and he kisses him and he blesses him and he sends him back home. But that wasn't the spirit of the rest of the tribes. For we see in verse 41 to 43 that there's a stirring of contentiousness again. There's this pride and there's this jealousy. From all indications, as David returned, with Amasa as the commander of the military, and all of the dispute, the initial reluctance on the part of the elders of Judah to be the ones who were taking the lead of restoring David. The consideration, the discussion of returning David to the throne was primarily among the 10 tribes at first, even to the point where there was expressed concern that Judah might be the last of the tribes to endorse his return. And with the intervention of the priests, then the elders of Judah determined to support the return of David as king. Because he was of their own tribe, their own families, they endorsed his return. And the ceremony of organizing the return and ushering him back across the Jordan was apparently so hasty that not all of the elders from the other 10 tribes could get there in time. We see here that it was the elders of Judah, it was the demonstration of support of all of the Benjamites and those of Judah, but only half of the elders of the other tribes had arrived in time to see the crossing of the Jordan and the ceremony by which David was restored to the kingdom. And this created some friction among the tribes. They were jealous. They were hostile. And they start complaining and grumbling to the elders of Judah. Why were you so hasty? Why did you do so things so quickly that we couldn't even get here? We have 10 stakes in the kingdom, and you only have one. And we see that there was a fierce controversy, a fierce dispute. The petty jealousies of the tribes. And that same kind of pettiness and jealousy often materializes even among brethren today, whether in an individual local church or among various churches. There's often a jealousy, a contentiousness. Not just the friction or the discussion, the debate, the controversy that comes over the proper discussion of biblical doctrine, but a pettiness and a jealousy that was beyond what was proper. It was completely different than the attitude, the spirit of Barzillai. And we have here the men of Judah fiercely defending their actions, claiming that he is of their tribe and therefore they had the responsibility of ensuring that he is quickly returned to his rightful place. And yet that controversy didn't seem to end there. It didn't satisfy the other 10 tribes, and a generation later, that same friction reemerged. It reared its ugly head once again, and the 10 northern tribes broke off. They went their own way under the direction of Jeroboam. And as Solomon's son proved to be an unworthy leader, the northern 10 tribes went their own way and they stumbled into apostasy and calf worship and idolatry. And it was they then who ultimately experienced the initial wrath of God in the Assyrian captivity. And while Judah remained faithful for a little longer, they had more good kings than bad, yet they too eventually apostatized and rejected the command of the Lord. So we see a contrast in this section. We see the faithfulness, the contentment, the peace of Barzillai. In his advanced age, he had lived an honorable life. He was a great man. He was a faithful servant to David, and yet he also had an eye for the future. He had an eye for the future in the service of his son, in willingly giving him to the service of David, but he also recognized the future of his own life and a desire to remain faithful to the traditions, to the family practices, and to receive the burial among his family, among his forefathers. So Barzillai is worthy of note because of the manner in which he lived his life. He was a faithful man. He was a wise man. From all indications, he was a godly man. And thus, we note the life of Barzillai. He was content in his own place. Many times we do not share such sentiments. The way of the world, the attitude of the world was you do everything you can to get ahead. And if you've got an opportunity like that staring you in the face, you do everything and anything you can to grab it. But Barzillai was not of that attitude. He was not willing to sacrifice his principles for momentary pleasure, momentary honor and glory. Instead, he wished to continue his dedication, his loyalty to David, but not on a daily basis in the court. He was content in his own place. He was secure in what he had accomplished in his lifetime. He had amassed a great fortune. He had willingly shared of that fortune in sustaining David in his darkest hour, in his time of fleeing from Absalom, in the time of great danger. But Barzillai understood his place. He understood God's direction for his life. He understood the bounds and the limitations that were placed upon him. And it was not the will of the Lord that he would go back to Jerusalem with David. We need to recognize God's bounds and limitations in our own lives. We need to not follow the philosophy and the ways of the world as we pursue wealth, as we pursue power and influence. We need to be content as children of the King. The hymn is 720.
Silver. be with you all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording of a worship service at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. For further information, you can contact us at our website, www.localchurchpa.com. Email at sgbc@localchurchpa.com. Or call 570-435-2276.